We have seen, we've actually revised up our forecasts in about 40% of countries around the world. So it's a fairly broad improvement, largely focused on developed economies. So in developed economies, we've seen rising wages. We see favorable investment conditions, which has spurred an improvement in investment across a large number of countries. And we also had a large fiscal stimulus package in the United States, which has increased the short-term growth prospects. Outside of the developed economies, in some of the commodity exporting economies, we see stronger growth supported by rising energy and metals prices as well.
And what are some of the factors that you would think contribute to this increased growth?
Part of it, as I mentioned, is policy driven. So we have a significant fiscal expansion happening in the United States, which has caused us to revise our forecast for that country up by 0.4 percentage points. United States being a large country in the world, obviously this has a significant impact on the global outlook as well. Wages have started to come up in developing countries. We have unemployment rates in countries such as the United States, Germany, Japan at very, very low levels, near full capacity. And that has finally put some upward pressure on wage growth, which will support consumer spending over the coming years.
And has it been good news across the board for everyone, or are there some findings that we should be careful about?
The upturn in growth has not been evenly shared. It has not reached all parts of the world. There are some areas where we still see some concerns. So, for example, if we look at growth in per capita terms, so that is the sort of average incomes of individuals within an economy. In per capita terms, GDP is actually declining and is expected to continue to decline in Central Africa and in Southern Africa. So prospects for improvements in living standards in those regions are still very limited.
How do we account for that decline?
A lot of this can be attributed to structural issues which hold back stronger growth. For example, a lack of economic diversification, high levels of inequality, uneven access to education or health services, institutional deficiencies, and also political instability in some cases, or exposure to conflict situations, which obviously act as a severe constraint on any prospects for economic or social progress.
And are there other negative findings in the report?
So two of the points that we highlight, we see that the short-term economic prospects look more favorable, but around that we also see the risks to the outlook have been building over the last 6 months. And you see that in the rise in trade tensions across the world. You see that in a greater uncertainty about the path of monetary policy in some of the developed economies. You see that in the high levels of inequality and high levels of debt that the world is facing. And because of this rise in risks, although our forecast is revised up, the probability that we may, in fact, see a much slower growth rate than we currently forecast has increased. For example, trade tensions are at higher levels than they have been in the last year. If these were to spiral into a series of tariffs and retaliatory measures over the course of this year, we could, in fact, see global growth slowing to as little as 1.8% next year, compared to the 3.2% growth that we forecast as our central scenario. Other areas of concern that we would raise are linked to inequality and to the environment. Inequality has actually, in some parts of the world, in many developing countries, we've actually seen some measures of inequality decline over the last decade, which is a positive note, but it's declining from very, very high levels. So the upturn in economic growth is not reaching everyone. It is still remains focused in a small subset of the population. We want to see far greater efforts to tackle the high levels of inequality through policies that target social protection, through policies that target education. Minimum wage policies have had a positive impact in some parts of the world, have helped to drive the declines in areas that we've seen. We want to see a lot more of that.
There has been some growth, but has the growth been in line with internationally agreed objectives for sustainability and for climate, for instance, the SDGs or the Paris Agreement on climate change? How do the policymakers encourage growth that doesn't have a negative effect on environment and natural resources?
Up until 2016, global carbon emissions had remained flat for 3 years. And so there was this sort of complacency that was beginning to develop, thinking that we'd achieved the delinking between economic growth and carbon emission growth. Last year, it was evident that this has not been achieved. Carbon emissions did increase last year, and that is partly linked to the increase in global economic growth. So these tensions are now much more apparent. In order to both achieve the dual goals of a strong and healthy economy and to achieve the environmental targets, a much faster rate of energy transition is needed. If we continue at the current rate of energy transition and energy efficiency gains, it will be more than 50 years before we get to a point where renewables account for 50% of our energy capacity.
Now, about open trade, what are the threats to trade right now in terms of maintaining open trade, markets between countries, and policies that are affecting that?
So we've seen a rise in trade barriers between some countries, particularly the largest countries in the world, which, of course, drive a significant share of world trade. Proposed tariffs, which may or may not be implemented over the course of this year, would slow global trade. And this would impact not just the countries that impose the tariffs, but also a large number of smaller developing countries in particular that are deeply integrated into the global trade networks that have evolved over the last two decades. In particular, global trade networks in East Asia are highly vulnerable, where linkages are very, very deep. So a tariff on one country, for example, on China, would spill over to a vast range of other countries as well. So our concern would be that the barriers that we have seen begin to spiral over the course of the year and increase to a level that brings world trade essentially to a halt.
And so how should governments be interpreting this information in terms of their economic growth policies? We have some good information here, some positive outlook, but we also have some warnings and threats. How should they be digesting this for their policies?
While we would say that it's urgent, it has been urgent and it remains urgent for countries to tackle some of these long-standing barriers to growth, with the stronger economic prospects in the near term, there is more policy space to do that in many countries. With the increase in risks, it's more imperative that this happens now rather than later, so that some progress is made before the next economic crisis occurs, which will necessarily divert attention away from the longer-term goals to the short-term crisis situation. So, for example, things like improving economic diversity, investing in education and expanding access to healthcare, a more progressive system of taxation and benefits, all of these are really essential to help drive both a stronger and more sustainable longer-term growth prospects and to provide some protection against the growing risks that are out there.